Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, Erica, we can.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Thanks. Yes.
Good.
All right.
We can hear you. Hello, Greg.
Chairman, welcome. And we are recording this meeting, so we are on the record.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. The meeting of the New Mexico Commission for the Blind will come to order. First, we'll have the roll call of the commission. Robert Reedy.
Robert Reedy is here.
Urza Lansing.
I'm here.
And Art Schreiber is here. All three members of the commission are present. Wait a minute. Okay, introduction of guests.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. We do have guests present. We can introduce guests first, then we can introduce staff or staff first, whatever your pleasure is. Mr. Chairman, why don't we do staff first? That's kind of our tradition here. So I am Greg Trapp, the Executive Director of the Commission for the Blind. Jim?
Good morning. I'm Jim Salas. I'm a Deputy Director with the Commission. I handle the vocational rehabilitation and independent living programs.
Kevin?
Come on. Good morning. I'm Kevin Romero. I'm the Deputy Director for Finance and Administration and the Chief Financial Officer for the Commission for the Blind.
And Daphne?
Good morning. I am Daphne Mitchell, and I oversee the VR Counselor Unit with the Commission for the Blind.
And Kelly?
Good morning. My name is Kelly Burma. I am the School Center Coordinator at the New Mexico Commission for the Blind. And I serve as liaison as well between the SRC and the, in other words, the State Rehabilitation Council and the Commission. Welcome, everyone.
Well, Kelly can't be understood, Greg.
Kelly, it sounds like you've got a little bit of a muffle there.
I'm using my usual headset, but I'm probably talking way too fast as well.
It's that Minnesota thing going on. I hear you fine right now, but when you were introducing
that was fine, but we couldn't understand the other.
When you introduced yourself, you might have been a little too close to the mic. Audrey?
Good morning. I'm Audrey Trujillo. I'm the IT Technology Officer for the Commission.
And I believe that's all the staff that we currently have. So why don't we go ahead and go on to guests here. Katie?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Katie Ellis, and I am the SRC, the State Rehabilitation Secretary for the Commission for the Blind, and it's a pleasure to be here this morning.
And Kelly, I thought you said Piggy had joined us, but I'm not seeing her here.
That was my mistake, Mr. Sharp. I'm sorry.
Okay, Katie. All right. So, Mr. Krankamp?
Good morning, everybody. John Krankamp, Assistant Attorney General and Legal Counsel to the Commission for the Blind.
And Auditor Cologne, I believe we're ready for your team.
Thank you, Director Trapp. I appreciate being here this morning. I am joined by an incredible trifecta of awesome civil servants at the Office of the State Auditor. It's a pleasure and privilege to serve you in the role of State Auditor. I am joined by my Deputy State Auditor. I shouldn't say mine. She is the State of New Mexico Deputy Auditor, Natalie Cordova, CPA, who has been with me from the beginning of my term until now. My term is almost completed the end of this year. And also our director of our audit division. She has been a phenomenal steady hand for me on our financial audit division, Lynette Kennard, CPA, CGFM, and a lot of alphabet soup to go with that. Tons of credentials, tons of capacity, and she's just done a wonderful job for me. Thank you, Lynette. I am also joined this morning by someone who I've respected for many, many years, and was thrilled, had lost track and touch with him for many years, but then he came back by way of submitting an application to my office, and it is Joe Cruz with his credentials, and he is our audit supervisor and doing great work there. So that is my team who have joined us this morning, and it's an honor and privilege to work with you on this engagement again. And it's great to see Chairman Schreiber, and I always love hearing his voice. I could just have that put me to sleep and wake me up every morning. I know every day would be better.
Thank you, sir. Okay, all the staff and guests, Greg, let's have any changes to the agenda. If we have to move items around, or, and I think we might today because of Robert Reedy is only going to be with us 1 hour. So, Greg, we may have to move something, but if not, is there approval of the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, we do have two items that we need to move up. One is the approval of the Governmental Conduct Act resolution. It's my recommendation that that follow the acceptance of the audit report. That requires a vote. It's an approval or action item. Also, the executive director's performance evaluation. We could put that either right after the approval of the Governmental Conduct Act resolution. I do not think that's going to take long. Basically, we're approving the accepting the performance appraisal and making salary recommendations. That shouldn't take more than just a handful of minutes. So we could put that either after the Governmental Conduct Act resolution, after your report, or after the director's report, whatever your pleasure is.
Why don't we put it second, like you just first suggested?
Mr. Chairman, we can definitely do that. I would ask Auditor Colon if he has a preference, because if he wanted to stay for some of the staff report, he and his staff, we might want to put it afterwards. So I would offer up that question to see if Auditor Colon has a preference as well.
Thank you, Dr. Trapp, members of the commission, Chairman Schreiber. I've got a little bit of a compressed schedule this morning, so I'm not sure how long I'll be able to stay, but I would just defer to you and you doing your business, and I may drop off for a bit and then come back to see if I can listen in to the balance of your meeting. But I know I have an interruption this morning, at least at one point during our visit today.
So, Mr. Chairman, with that in mind, then I would recommend that we put the executive director's performance appraisal after the director's report. I don't think it will be a long director's report. I think that would be the best approach.
Okay, I agree. With those changes, is there approval of the agenda? A motion.
Robert Reedy, I move we approve.
Urge
a second motion. Okay, my second by Urge. All those in favor say aye.
Do we need a roll call vote, Mr. Chair?
Yes, that's right. Roll call. Robert Reedy.
Yes.
Urge Lansing.
Yes, sir.
Arch Schreiber, yes. Motion approved. Okay. Approval of the minutes of the meeting of, was it June 16th?
November 16th, Mr. Chairman.
November 16th. Okay. A little far ahead. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, this is Urja.
Go ahead.
I may be wrong, Mr. Chair, and I'm happy to be so. In item 5, It was the approval, I think, of the August 26th minutes. We show that there was a motion and a second to approve, but I didn't see any actual vote, roll call vote. I could be wrong.
Mr. Chair and members of the commission, that is correct. I believe that that vote was unanimous, but that sentence should be added to the minutes to reflect that. I do see that there's the minutes state who made the motion and who seconded it, but I'm also not seeing the vote there as well.
Mr. Chairman, commissioners, that is my fault. I sometimes go up and cut and paste that voting process just to save time when I'm doing the minutes. And I think what happened there is instead of copying, I must have cut it. So Commissioner Lansing, thank you for spotting that. And we can certainly add that, yes, it was a unanimous vote, so we can make that change.
Okay, thank you, Urja.
So Mr. Chair, with that, if that's all we need, then I move to approve the minutes as revised.
Is there a second?
Robert Reedy, second.
Okay, roll Mr. call
Chairman,
vote.
Mr. Chairman, before a roll call, I do want to mention we have a couple of attachments to these minutes that I just want to emphasize. We have the recommendations that New Mexico, Hawaii, and Nebraska made to the National Blindness Professional Certification Board about their grievance procedure and changes that they can make to help identify persons who are accused of abuse. We also, in there, identify changes to their grievance procedure and their evidentiary standard. I think that's important to establish that for the record in terms of that. The American Council of the Blind resolution on this topic. Also, we're adding, and then of course, the October 27 notification to the Office of the State Auditor as attachments.
All right. Thank you, Greg. A motion to approve, seconded, a roll call, Robert Reedy.
Yes.
Urja Lansing.
Yes.
Art Schreiber, yes. Motion approved with attachments, et cetera. Thank you very much. Thank you, Greg. Next item is the chairman's report. I want to tell all that we're very honored that Auditor Brian Colon is with us today, and we will hear the results of the latest audit by the department for the Commission for the Blind. And I also want to mention today in my report, we are very grieved to hear about the illness of our senator from New Mexico, Mr. Lujan. It is just really a very, very strange. It's very serious illness, and we hope that his recovery is fast and he is going to be able to continue. Greg, I think we ought to issue a notice to him that we recognize this in our meeting, and we wish him a speedy recovery.
Chairman, I will certainly send such a note.
And that is my report for today. Next item, right?
Chairman, we are ready for the acceptance of the audit.
All right. Auditor Colon.
So good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Director Trapp, and the great team at the commission. Let me just say that I don't always make such an affirmative effort to be present for our engagements and our entrance conferences and our exit conferences and our reports out, but I do make a particular effort to be with you, the commission, because of the importance of the work you do, the quality of the work you do, and the history that you have in terms of working with our office on this audit. It is a source of personal pride for me and inspiration, while always maintaining independence, Natalie will have me say as a disclaimer. Regardless of how much I have an affinity for your work, we continue to maintain independence and you continue to produce excellence. And so I want to take a moment, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, to thank Kevin for his continued steady hand and good work, and Director Trapp for his leadership for the commission. And I would thank my team for always leaning in and making sure that we receive our deliverables from you and that we execute on our side of the equation. As always, it's a pleasure to work beside Attorney Crime Camp. I get to see him on regular occasion on his work and terrific legal guidance for the boards and commissions that he serves through the Office of the Attorney General. So with that, I am going to turn it over to my deputy auditor for any comments she might have, and then she may pivot over to Director Kennard. But I think I'll start with giving an opportunity to our great leader from the North, who is dealing with snow and family and teleworking and lots of things going on in the background, but always able to really deliver for us at the Office of the State Auditor. Madam Deputy Auditor.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Happy to be here today. Always appreciative for the great work that the commission does. Of course, during its, you know, financial effort for the annual audit, as well as all the other service you provide. We really appreciate you. We absolutely love you as an audit client. You're great. So thank you for putting up with us and just being stellar. Year two of telework environment, and the commission didn't miss a beat. And Kevin, thank you and your team for your work. And I'll hand it over to Lynette.
Thank you, Deputy State Auditor. And good morning, everyone. I'm Lynette Kennard. I'm the Financial Audit Director at OSA. It's a pleasure to be with you all today. And we do really enjoy working with your team. It is a privilege for us to work together and really have a great relationship with the commission. So thank you again for another great year of audit work. I'll hand it over to Joe Cruz, who was the lead for this engagement.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for having us here today. I have to echo what everyone has said. It's been a great working relationship. And I'm here to present the audit and audit findings for the commission. If there's not any questions, I'll go ahead and get started. No questions? Great. The Office of State Auditor audited the fiscal year 2021 financial statements for the New Mexico Commission for the Blind. The financial audit and compliance audit is based on governmental standards and the New Mexico audit rule, as well as a uniform guidance federal compliance audit. As a whole, OSA issued an unmodified opinion on the financial statements, and each opinion unit that includes governmental activities, business type activities, the general fund, proprietary fund, and the budget comparison for the general fund. OSA also issued an unmodified opinion on the compliance for the major program tested. As a result, we had one finding that was identified in the current year, that is number 2021-001, and it is controls over capital assets, which is identified as an other matter and other non-compliance. And to give you a little bit of information regarding the finding, during our test work over capital assets, we noticed the commission did not capitalize two server racks totaling approximately $16,000. After identification, this amount was adjusted and is correctly reflected in the financial statements. Additionally, the commission identified 12 assets that were not properly depreciated in prior fiscal years, resulting in an understatement of beginning accumulated depreciation of approximately $28,000. The commission has subsequently included the depreciation expense in the current fiscal year and is reflected in the financial statements. And based on the commission's response, we noted that it should mitigate any risk or most risk. So that's an overall presentation of the audit. I did want to go over a few other items, and then if there's any questions, we could cover those as well. Upcoming changes for the FY22 audit is the implementation of GASB 87. And just to give you a brief overview, this statement increases the usefulness of government's financial statements by requiring recognition of certain lease assets and liability for leases that previously were classified as operating leases and recognized as inflows of resources or outflows of resources based on the payment provisions in the contract. And this will be affected for the commission's FY22 audit. Regarding the FY22 audit, I just wanted to state that, again, the commission's been an excellent client. This was our fifth year performing the audit. And as of right now, OSA intends on performing the FY22 engagement pending any unforeseen circumstances. So before I conclude, I'd like to open it up for questions and maybe turn it over to Kevin, who may have some information regarding the new GASB implementation. And we can go from there.
Thank you, Joe. I'd like to let the members of the commission know, as well as staff that's present, in regards to GASB 87 that's going to be in effect for fiscal year 22, as stated by the Office of the State Auditor. Currently, we are working with DFA to ensure that we have the proper guidance and implementation to properly recognize our leases. DFA has informed all agencies that they would like consistency across the state, so we're awaiting their determination as to the application of this guidance, but we are looking forward to implementing it prior to the end of fiscal year 22 so that our financial statements are true and accurate. Being at the commission, we have preliminarily begun to identify possible applicable leases that would be affected so that we can get a head start. As soon as we receive our final guidance, we will finalize our review and then implement the necessary procedures. But I would like to let the Office of State Auditor know that we are working diligently to ensure the proper application of GASB 87. We're looking forward to having another successful audit period for 22. And then I would just like to express on behalf of myself and my staff our appreciation in working with Joe and his team during this fiscal year audit, as well as the Office of the State Auditor and all the other individuals we got to work with and meet. They were very understanding. They were very professional. They were very courteous. I'll be honest, working with the Office of State Auditor might be one of the nicest audits I've ever been through. So that says a lot, being that your guys are auditors. But we do appreciate working with your team. We do appreciate your professionalism, your detail to work. It makes us a better agency. It makes us a better staff. And we value that very much. So thank you very, very much. Are there any questions in regards to the audit or any other items?
Kevin, I want to thank you for all of your work on this. Joe and his team and Auditor Cologne, you've got a great team. We appreciate that very much. Kevin gave our appreciation to Janelle and your other staff who've worked hard on this. I think this really reflects the fact that we pay close attention to these issues. They are critical, and we certainly do value the partnership we have with the Office of the State Auditor.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Kevin, Director Trapp, let me just say that your work is critical to our state, and the level of professionalism you bring is absolutely and duly noted. We don't have every commission that provides the oversight that it should for its team on the ground, and it's been a struggle with some, but certainly not with yours. Your commission has a stellar performance record. We are grateful to have this engagement, and I appreciate Kevin's kind words about my team, because I often go out in the field and I'm the one that gives remarks that are followed by applause. But there are a lot of civil servants in New Mexico that do the work every day and rarely get applause. So allow me to say thank you to my team for this good work, and thank the commission for your civil service to New Mexico. And I would close with just saying that I realized that I was the only gentleman on the call without my suit coat on. So just for the record, I did put on my jacket for the balance of this meeting. So I have no disrespect intended, Chairman, members of the commission, and Director Trapp and team, no disrespect intended. And I have remedied the situation. And I guess my deputy auditor points out that she too has her jacket on. So I really, as does Director Kennard. I mean, I literally was the only person on this call. Now that, thank you, Director Kennard and Deputy Auditor Cordova, for pointing out that truly I was the only person on the call with jacket on. I have fixed that. I apologize. No disrespect intended. I rest, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, with gratitude.
Auditor Kennard, don't feel badly. I'm wearing jeans, so don't ask me to stand up. Mr. Reedy?
This is Bob Reedy, Auditor Cologne. We want to express our gratitude for, as an auditor, your meticulous attention to detail.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Dr. Reedy, look, I appreciate that. It really is my entire team that does that. And I will just say that to have you on the commission continues to elevate the work of the commission. You are, I mean, literally, like, come on, let's not talk about serving the part of the community that you are advocating for, and having you do that. I mean, look, it's an honor to be in the presence of the chairman and you, who I'll just say continue to be leaders in the sector that serves our community. Having grown up in a home with two individuals who had disabilities and other abilities, it's really great to have you on this commission. I know what your time means, and you dedicating your time to this makes a difference. So, Mr. Chairman, Dr. Reedy, thank you for the kind words.
Thank you. This is Joe Cruz again. I just wanted to thank you again, and say that is truly a team effort from our end, and we have great leadership there as well. And I just want to conclude by commending the commission on a few things. I know we've said thank you on a few things, but you know, their organization in general has been excellent. Their responsiveness throughout the audit, their professionalism, their securitization of information, as we discussed, I think this says a lot about the commission. And the accessibility of information and the team throughout the audit engagement was, we never had an issue when we needed information. It was provided to us in a timely manner. If there's any issues we discussed, we were able to get the information and come to the proper conclusions there. And I just wanted to thank Kevin for Romero for his work, and as well as his staff as well. We know that we can't do it alone, so we appreciate that. And the last thing I wanted to mention was this audit has been released and is available on the OSA website. So if any of you have not reviewed it and want to take a look at it, it is available at this time.
Chairman, this is Kevin Romero. I'd like to thank Joe and the Office of the State Auditor, the Deputy State Auditor, everybody for the kind words. As we all know, this is a team effort. I'm only as good as my team, and the commission's only as good as the employees that work here. I like to recognize that we're this good because of the leadership we have in our commissioners, our executive director, our other deputy directors, our staff, our field staff, who does the daily work that puts all this together.
So all together as a team, we're able to be successful. And because of that, we're able to achieve how well we've done in our audits. But truly, it is a true reflection of the leadership that we get from our commission and our executive director. And I like that noted. We all take great pride in what we do, and it's from the top down. So thank you all for the kind words. I'll share that with my team and the rest of the staff. But truly, we all try to work together to accomplish this as one team.
Thank you, Kevin. This is Art Schreiber. Mr. Auditor, Brian, we've been friends a long time. I just want to speak on behalf of the commissioners how proud we are of our director and our staff. And I think it is certainly recognized by you and your team. And we're very proud that we can once again show not only the state, but the nation that an agency and its governmental work can work together and be successful. And we're very proud of that, but we're very proud of the people that have reported to the auditor today and over the years. We just can't say enough for our leadership with Greg and his team and what Kevin and his team have done. And so on behalf of the commissioners, we want to thank you, Brian, and your team, and we look forward to working with all of you for a long, long time.
Mr. Chair, this is Urja. You took the words right out of my mouth. And if there's nothing else, Mr. Chair, I move the acceptance of the state fiscal year 21 audit.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Bob Reedy, second.
All right, and a roll call vote. Urja Lansing?
Yes, sir.
Robert Reedy?
Approve.
And Art Schreiber, yes. Motion and audit approved.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Auditor Clone, you and your team, thank you very much. We appreciate this. Mr. Chairman, we're ready for the next item on the agenda, which is the approval of our Governmental Conduct Act resolution, which we do the first meeting of each year. And I would like to head short. I'd like to have Mr. Romero go ahead and read that.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, the New Mexico Commission for the Blind Governmental Conduct Act resolution. Whereas the Governmental Conduct Act 10-15-1, NMSA 1978, sets forth standards of ethical conduct that apply to the Commission for the Blind, and whereas under the Governmental Conduct Act, the position of commissioner of the Commission for the Blind constitutes a public trust. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the members of the Commission for the Blind, meeting in virtual session the second day of February 2022, shall 1. Use their public office only to advance the public interest and not to obtain personal benefit. 2. At all times, maintain the integrity and discharge ethically the high responsibilities of public service. 3. Fully disclose real or potential conflicts of interest. 4. Review on a regular basis the terms and provisions of the Governmental Conduct Act. And 5. In every other way, fully abide by the provisions of the Governmental Conduct Act. Passed unanimously and electronically signed by the Commission for the Blind this second day of February 2022. Arthur A. Schreiber, Commission Chairman. Shirley Lansing, Commissioner. Robert Reedy, Commissioner. That's the conclusion of the text.
So, Mr. Chairman, that's our proposed resolution.
Mr. Chair, this is John, your commission counsel. If I could just jump in on something very small here. There's one, I think, typographical error in the first clause. It says, whereas the Governmental Conduct Act 1015-1. That's a citation to the Open Meetings Act. So what you want is 1016-1. But beyond that, I think it's fine, and I encourage you to adopt the resolution.
Thank you, John, for catching. Yeah, go ahead, Art.
No, I was thanking John for catching that very much. We appreciate it.
We do. I do. I'm so used to the Open Meetings Act citation that I think it's just automatic for me. So, John, thank you. We'll make that change. So, Mr. Chairman, ready
all
for
right,
our resolution?
Is there a motion to approve?
Robert Reedy, I move we approve.
Bert just seconded, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Second, did you second?
I did.
And Mr. Okay, Chairman, before we take the vote, that is as revised, correct? Dr. Reedy?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Roll call vote. Robert Reedy.
Yes.
Urja Lansing.
Yes.
Art Schreiber, yes. Motion approved. Greg.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Want to again thank Auditor Cologne and his team. We appreciate that very much. I also want to Commissioners, Dr. Reedy, Commissioner Lansing, Commissioner Schreiber, thank you for your work in completing the financial disclosure statements, getting those submitted to the Secretary of State's office on time. The webpage is extremely difficult to use. It is not accessible for those of us who use screen readers. I required assistance from Audrey to complete my own financial disclosure statement. She and Kelly helped with this process as well. And Audrey, I want to thank you. You worked awfully hard to get everything submitted in time. So thank you very much for all your help.
Oh, no problem.
Yes, and this is Art Schreiber. I'd like to chip in and say, I can't say enough about Audrey, because the day that she drew the short straw to have to do mine, the Secretary of State's office was closed. We couldn't get anybody, but she still, in spite of all of that, and in spite of my not knowing what two and two are when it comes to those kinds of things, she still did it over a long period of time, but successfully. And Audrey, once again, you saved the old man.
this is Bob Reedy, and I would like to echo the sentiments about Audrey. Without her, I could never have gotten through this, and I'm very appreciative. Thank you, Audrey.
You are very welcome. Thank you, guys.
This is Urge. I would just like to also thank Audrey and Kelly. Due to very unexpected event in my personal life, it made it a little bit more challenging. So thank you, ladies, very much.
Yeah, Audrey and Kelly, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Audrey, you had to work over the weekend and late nights, but we got it done. So thank you. Mr. Chairman, I want to thank you. You know, this is a really challenging time for us. We're in the second year of this pandemic. We had a statewide staff training, and as a special treat to our staff, I wanted to take Art up on an offer to do his Beatles presentation. So Art, I want to thank you for that, for Mike Langer for assisting, and really our staff appreciated that. It kind of was a special little treat in these difficult times. So you did a great job with that. We played your presentation to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and then had questions and answers, and you were great. It was awesome. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, we had our House Appropriations and Finance Committee hearing on August 11. That went well. The executive and legislative recommendations were virtually identical, recommending a 1.7% budget increase. So that's very good for us. We're looking forward to that. I think that we will see if the federal government can ever pass a budget, an increase in our available basic support dollars that will be significant because of the high level of inflation. So that additional 1.7% will help us to pull down additional federal dollars. I want to announce that there is a new director of the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. Casey Stone Romero has been named the new director. I've known her for about 7-8 years. I think she's an excellent choice, really has a great deal of knowledge and background. We've worked with her in the area of supported employment from the Department of Health, and really excited about that. She is going to be the 15th director at DVR since I've been here. So hopefully she'll be here for a long, long time, but I congratulate her, and we're already working closely together, and I think that really is awesome. We still do not have a commissioner at the Rehabilitation Services Administration. Hopefully we'll see one appointed here soon now that there's an OSERS Assistant Secretary appointed. we have expanded our telework here in the last couple of weeks. We had paused our phasing out of telework because of the spread of the virus and because now of the fast spread of the Omicron variant, we've actually implemented some additional telework here through the 18th of February. I'm hoping that predictions are correct and that this particular variant will spike fast and that we can return to normal here by the end of this month or later this month. So in the meantime, we're being very prudent in making sure that we're providing services in a safe, appropriate way. We are getting additional masks and additional test kits. Those rapid test kits or antigen test kits will help us to test both staff and consumers as appropriate, especially at the orientation center. We've also been joined by Lucy Malahan. I want to welcome Lucy here for joining us. So we are definitely watching the variants very, very closely here. We are in the process, I am in the process of filling the executive secretary position. For those who are not aware, I also want to again indicate that Trish Adams passed away from COVID-19. Certainly that's a tragedy, and our thoughts and prayers are with her and her family. I have talked to her sisters. We're expecting a memorial service sometime in May, and we'll certainly keep people aware of that. In the meantime, we are interviewing for the executive secretary position. We have completed a first round of interviews and are conducting a second round of interviews of the finalists next week. So, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, in the interest of brevity and trying to finish this item quickly, that is my report. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Greg. Any questions, Commissioner? Hearing none, continue, Greg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have any trends and developments?
That is my major trends and developments report. We're ready to move on to Finance Administration, Kevin Romero.
Kevin? Okay, Kevin Romero.
Mr. Chairman, fellow commissioners, staff, give a brief admin and finance update. Executive Director Trapp made it a little easier. He covered quite a few items that I would typically have covered. As we're aware, the fiscal year 21 audit was just presented. In regards to our fiscal year 22 budget, the commission processed a budget adjustment of $1.9 million. This is to account for the additional revenues being generated from Kirtland Air Force Base contract. Just for the commissioner's reference, that has increased the total budget of the commission to $15,253,300. As of yesterday, the commission has spent $8.1 million and has encumbrances totaling $569,700. We're projected to spend at the end of fiscal year 22, which is a few months away, approximately $14,088,235, or 92.36% of our increased budget, which is good. That means we're providing more services and more needed items to our consumers. As the executive director had stated, we did have our HAFC presentation. It went very well. I just want to note to the commission that the HAFC committee substitute for House Bill 2 was passed out of the HAFC yesterday morning. It is currently sitting on the House floor waiting a vote. Nothing has changed from the recommendation, and there was just a slight language change due to the legislative format they like to see in the bill. In regards to human resources, just so the commission's aware, currently we have 24 vacant positions. 11 of them are exot and 13 are classified, which puts the total agency vacancy rate at 26.52. Of that, the classified vacancy rate is 20.47, and the exempt vacancy rate is 40.74. As Executive Director Trapp had specified, we are working diligently to fill positions. Just so the commission's aware, we filled two positions between the November meeting and today. We filled our HR position in Santa Fe, and we also filled an exempt position also housed in Santa Fe. Currently, there are four positions under the interview process, one of which is the Executive Secretary, and then there's three other positions. All of those are in Albuquerque. And the commission currently has posted for recruitment a total of five positions, and we're working on another two to get those posted as quickly as possible. So the commission is working quite diligently to fill our vacant positions and to get us as fully staffed as possible to provide the best service we possibly can to our consumers as well as our field offices. Are there any questions on the abbreviated report?
Any questions, Commissioner? Thank you very much, Kevin.
Thank you, Chairman.
And congratulations again on the audit.
And thank you, Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I would like Kevin to briefly mention what we're doing with our cost allocation plan.
Oh, yes. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, the Commission for the Blind has submitted our cost allocation plan to the federal oversight agency. That has been reviewed. We submitted it in June. It has been under review. We were notified yesterday afternoon that the submittal did not comply with their template format, at which point myself and our financial manager, Janelle Gonzalez, are working diligently today and tomorrow to compile the information into the requested format, and that will be submitted timely. I'm hoping to get that in no later than the end of this week. The oversight agency has informed us that we do not have to resubmit. We just have to put it in the proper format. And once it's submitted, the finalization process should go through. So we are awaiting approval of our cost allocation plan, which would start January 1st of 2022 and go for the next 4 years.
Okay. No other items. With Kevin, we move to Jim Salas to report on independent living and vocational rehab.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Wanted to talk about some of our progress in trying to fill some of our vacancies. I think we had briefed the commission previously that we were moving positions from the Las Vegas office to Santa Fe. This happened to be a kind of a alignment of the planets that made it particularly convenient to do it at this time. The VR counselor position has been vacant for a while. Rafael Aguirre, who is the blindness skills instructor and really a really terrific teacher, he applied for the shop teacher job at the orientation center in Alamogordo and was hired into that position. He's really, I think, ideal for that position. He actually has a table saw of his own, you know, at home. So it's he does these kinds of things in his personal life. So I think it really made really good sense for him to be in that role in Alamogordo. Very, very skilled guy. And then our secretary in the Las Vegas office, her name is Annette Sanchez. She started with the commission just a month after I did, and that was 23 years ago. And she just retired now at the end of December. So with all three of those positions vacant, and it was just difficult to recruit, you know, in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is a very beautiful little town, but it is a very little town, and it's just difficult to recruit. So we're moving over to Santa Fe, and we're going to be, Kevin has found some room for us in the Santa Fe office. So I think Kevin was telling me yesterday that those three positions are posted now on the State Personnel Office website. So we'll be doing some recruitment to get those, try to recruit some good candidates for those positions. We also do have a VR counselor position here in Albuquerque. Luis Lopez had resigned in December, and so we'll be getting that position posted here pretty quickly. So we have those positions that we'll be recruiting for. And as far as our CRUSIS position, well, also in Albuquerque, we do have a business enterprise program consultant position. We've been recruiting for that. We've interviewed a few times, have not found a good candidate. Nanette Slinky Poe was one of the secretaries here in our VR counselor team for 16 years, I believe. And she had a little different situation in her family. So she resigned a couple months ago, and we have been actually doing interviews for her position. We're trying to find a good candidate to fill that role. CRUSIS, we did fill our assistive technology position, a gentleman named Michael Bumberger, really, really high energy guy, very, very sharp. He had recently completed his staff training at the orientation center and is actually here in Albuquerque this week working with Juan and getting some more specific training on the caseload consumers that he'll be working with in the Roswell caseload and the CRUSIS caseloads, VR caseloads, of course. So he's getting some training with our technology team, but I think he's going to be super duper. Let's see. I think that is, and we do have blindness skills instructor vacancy in CRUSIS. We've started doing interviews for that position as well. So I think we do have one strong candidate that we've interviewed. I think we have another interview to do, and then probably do a second round interview. We usually like to do second round interviews for the counselor and the teacher positions, certainly. Independent living teachers are working hard. We appreciate their hard work. They're out in the field, again, providing that really great in-person training to our consumers. So we appreciate that. Started our recruitment process now for STEP. And STEP is going to come in four flavors this summer. One is going to be 100% online training only, no work component. One is going to be a community-based 100% work component. One is going to be a hybrid, you know, some work and some school, kind of like, you know, we've done in the past over the years. And one is going to be STEP into college, like that little clever name, STEP into college. And so that's going to be conducted down at the Orientation Center during June. And again, as you can imagine with a title like that, a focus on skills and knowledge that's necessary to be successful in college. That's going to be, whereas STEP is typically age 14 through 21, step into college is going to be a little subset of that. 18 through 21 year olds would be eligible for that particular program. So we're really excited about that. I certainly am very excited about that. And so we do have, we're in the process of promoting and recruiting consumers to participate in our Summer Step program this year. So BEP, again, we had had our financial relief allocation from Congress a couple of years ago to help offset the losses incurred by blind managers during calendar 2020 because of COVID. We had had an allocation of $215,297 to New Mexico. We had gathered all the documentation from the blind managers in terms of what their losses might have been during calendar 2020. The checks went out November the 30th of 2021, total of $64,606.86. Again, and that was accounting specifically for losses that they incurred. All right. Now, if they were otherwise participating in unemployment compensation or the PPP program or fair minimum payments, then those offset their losses. But so this reflected their actual net losses during that year. And the remainder, $150,690.14. That is going to basically be applied to new equipment purchases, maintenance of equipment that's already out in the field for BEP, fair minimum payments, and management services. You know, our Santa Fe financial staff is looking, there is a provision where we can apply some of that money to admin costs, but it sounds like it's going to be quite an effort to try to drill into that and determine whether and how much we would apply to that. And it sounds like the jury's still out on whether we'll apply. And there's a limit as to how much we can apply to admin costs and whether we'll do that or not. The Janelle and Lacey and Kevin and company haven't analyzed it to the degree yet to decide. So that we'll find out about that soon. Employment numbers, federal fiscal year 22 year to date. We have four in integrated settings at this point and average wage of $26.42. State fiscal year 22 year to date, we have nine in integrated settings, one in self-employment for a total of 10, and average wage of $21.90 an hour. Let me see, I just skipped a line here. 21.90 is the average wage. 14 folks we have in employment status right now. And again, just as you know, we really focus not as much on the 90-day minimum time in employment status, but focus on stability, whether the consumer is stable in their employment. And so we're, I'll give you a better brief at the next commission meeting as to kind of what our projection might be for the end of the state fiscal year and the end of the federal fiscal year in terms of our employment numbers. But again, a big, big thanks to Daphne and her team who are working really in a challenging COVID environment now to help some of these consumers maintain employment and obtain new employment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd be glad to take any questions.
Thank you, Jim, and good report. Commissioners, any questions of Jim?
No, sir.
All right. I'm sorry. Did I hear?
No, I don't. Thanks, Art. No.
Okay. All right. Thank you again, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Next item is the Orientation Center. Lucy Malin.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with you. do have a report for you this morning. So we'll start with the numbers. We currently have 3 on-site students and 3 part-time virtual students. Michael Blumberger, as we've mentioned before, did complete his staff blindness skills immersion training with us. And we are really excited to have him as part of the assistive technology team. He's covering the southern part of the state. And so he is the assistive technology specialist that we at the Orientation Center tend to work with most often. So we love everybody on the team, but we're really happy to have somebody who, as Jim said, has lots of energy. we have no staff changes to report since our last meeting in November. We do have 2 vacancies. One is in the maintenance worker position, and one is that assistive technology specialist supervisor position. We have had some additional COVID-19 positive cases, 1 in November, 2 in December, and 1 in January. All cases have been amongst staff members. Due to a staffing shortage as a result of the spread of COVID-19 and to minimize the spread of the coronavirus, we shifted to remote training from the center on December 6th. Students returned for in-person instruction on January the 4th. All students were tested prior to or just as they arrived at the center. As a result of the Omicron variant being more contagious, or at least having the ability to outmaneuver some of the vaccines, we have added air purifiers to common spaces, such as the dining area in the dorm room and classrooms and offices where we are likely to have more than one person at a time sharing space or being occupied in serial, so one after another. We are also supplying staff and students with N95 or KN95 masks and encouraging the use of those masks rather than the cloth masks that most staff members and students have been previously utilizing. All meetings, including our morning meeting, are now being held virtually. So we had been having morning meeting. That was kind of the last holdout that we had, just to so that people could see each other face to face at least once a day, but that's now virtual as well. Even meetings between staff meetings held to collaborate on projects or simply to ask questions are being held by phone or virtual conferencing. The Orientation Center is accredited by the Commission on Accreditation of Rehabilitation Facilities, so CARF, and certified as a Structured Discovery Center by the National Blindness Professionals Certification Board, or NBPCB. Our CARF accreditation and NBPCB certification are the highest offered by both. Every 3 years, CARF and NBPCB make site visits to evaluate our training program. The NBPCB was due to conduct a site visit this month. However, due to the pandemic and the spread of Omicron and subsequent complications and stress resources, the NBPCB has agreed to conduct a site visit at a later date. So we haven't yet determined what that later date will be. I feel like a lot of times within this pandemic, I plan for maybe next week. And that's long-term planning. I used to plan my life in like a year, 5 years, 10 years. But gosh, I think it's narrowed down to 3 months or 6 months. So I'm really glad that the NBPCB is willing to work with us. It's important for us to have them come evaluate our program. We do ascribe to the structured discovery philosophy. We use those techniques in our teaching style. And we do want to make sure that we are adhering to those structured discovery principles. Having the NBPCB come in and conduct the site visit helps to identify those areas where we are doing well and maybe areas where we need to improve. We've also had a lot of staff changes since they were last here in 2019. So really want their eyes on our program. And Mr. Chairman, that's my report on the Orientation Center. If we have flexibility in the agenda, I would like to go ahead and present my apartment report.
Thank you, Lucy. We'll be hearing that report in a little later. Excellent report. Any questions, commissioners? Okay. Next item is the Skills Center, Kelly Burke.
Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is well today, and it is my pleasure to be here to report on the activities of the Skills Center since the November 16th meeting of the commission. We are currently serving six students, whether in person or virtually. Four of them are potentially eligible or are eligible to receive pre-employment transition services. And we are also now serving two adults regularly as well. We plan to add two more adults in the coming couple of weeks, and one pre-eds student. And actually, it'll be one adult and one pre-eds in the coming couple of weeks. And of course, we're focusing on on similar areas as to the orientation center: Braille, assistive technology, home management, cane travel, or orientation mobility, if you prefer that term. We've also served one more participant in the Technology for Children program since we have last gathered. Because as Greg mentioned in his major trends and developments and the way that they affect the agency, we have paused large group services in the Skills Center. This actually affected two activities, one being the Creating Options monthly program that we offer every third Wednesday of the month. We had for January, we put that back on Zoom, and instead of doing the hybrid meeting that we had normally been doing. In that presentation, we presented on the use of NFB Newsline with the Victor Reader Stream. As Greg says, we hope to engage with our consumers and our public in a more normal fashion toward the end of this month, and in that we will be revisiting any concerns we have regarding bringing Creating Options back into a hybrid space. I personally do not think that any of the hybrid items that we've been doing in our services, whether Creating Options or whether providing support to teachers or students, if possible to do it virtually, I don't think that any of those things will go away. And that allows us to have a wider statewide reach. And one of the things that it does too, in some of our cases, it allows family members to become involved and encourage their students or their family member to succeed in their home environment. So I'm happy to take any questions that anyone may have at this time.
Thank you, Kelly. Any questions? Okay. Completes our report from the commission. We go to unfinished business.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
We were going to move the executive session here. So we had moved up item 14A, the executive director's performance evaluation, so that Dr. Reedy can participate in it.
Right.
Correct.
Mr. Chair, this is Kelly. I don't know. I mean, I know that we had moved our agenda items around to represent this, but I did note a request from Lucy for the sake of her time to provide her apartment.
We don't have time.
Okay.
it would not if we're going to, I've already emailed Lucy on that.
Oh, okay.
So, and we didn't have that as a part of the...
right, the movement. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the clarification.
Sure. So, Mr. Chairman, we need to figure out how we will do this. Audrey, can you move people into a waiting room, or what would you recommend here?
I don't know.
Yeah, I can remove users directly into the waiting room, and then I can put the notice that you requested up.
That would be perfect. So in the executive session, it will be, of course, well, you saw my email. It'll be Art, Urja, Dr. Reedy, Kevin, myself, John Kreienkamp, and yourself. And if you can move everyone else into the waiting room and put the note up, that would be perfect.
Mr. Trapp, she may not be able to move Kevin and I to the waiting room unless...
Oh, because you're co-host. That's fine. Both of you can stay in there.
Okay.
But Kevin's
okay,
going to...
Okay, go ahead and do that now.
Okay. So I do thank Diana, you for joining here. Bear with us. This will just take a few minutes, literally a few minutes.
Thank you, Greg. I'm glad I was able to join. I had a very hard time joining, but I joined.
Well, thank you for your persistence.
You're welcome.
Do we need to have the vote to go into executive session before we...
John?
Yeah, we do. I spaced on that just now. I don't know if we want to bring them back in for that vote.
Sure, we can do that.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and bring him back in. Thank you, Kelly. Good point.
Okay, everybody's back in.
Welcome, everybody. You get to be our audience for our vote into to go into executive session here. So thank you for bearing with us.
Chair, sorry, Greg. If it's appropriate, I move to go into executive session pursuant to sections 10-151H2 NMSA 1978. And the item is for the approval of executive director performance evaluation and salary increase.
Excuse me. Folks, I'm still in, Audrey.
Yeah, we brought you back, Jim, because we technically we needed, you know, this is a vote that takes place in open session.
An increased recommendation. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Lansing. That's a perfect motion. You just need a second and then a roll call vote.
This is Robert Reedy.
Moved by the motion. Urja, Robert Reedy is second. Roll call vote. Urja Lansing.
Yes, sir.
Robert Reedy.
Yes.
Arch Schreiber. Yes. Motion approved.
Now we can remove the audience into the waiting room.
Okay, working on that.